Good morning. It's nice to have some of us here today. I would like to say one more short prayer before we start. Father, thank you so much for your presence here with us. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, you are right here in the midst of us. And Lord, we thank you that this is especially true on your holy Sabbath day in your holy sanctuary. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit to guide us and be with us and to speak to each of our hearts through your word, through the words of others' testimonies. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start today by sharing a few Bible verses about the importance of our testimony. And a couple of the people I had to share a testimony today have gone home because of the quarantine with the coronavirus. So there's only a couple of us, but if any of the rest of you have anything that you would like to share, praise God, or a prayer request that we can pray for as a church, please feel free to share that with us. In the context of Revelation 12:11, the one that they overcame was the accuser of the brethren in verse 10. And then in verse 12, we see that it says, "Woe to you, inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." So the closer we get to the end, the more wrath that we face from the devil. And God's word tells us that the way we can overcome that extra wrath that the devil has for each one of us is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. They need to go together. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." So this is assembling to provoke one another to love and good works, to interact with each other, to encourage one another, right? It's not just to come together and listen to somebody else talk. We need to interact with one another and have communion with one another. This is part of where our strength lies as a church body, when we strengthen one another. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Malachi 3:16-17 says, "Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another." Often, it says. "And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." So this is a very important concept for us as we near Earth's last days, and we see the signs fulfilling all around us that tell us time is short, the devil is angry, and we have these tools that God has given us to resist him. I want to share this one last verse here. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. This is a psalm by David, and he talks about how important it is to recount the Lord's goodness and all of his acts towards us. And the next few chapters go through everything the Lord had brought the Israelites through, everything that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob all summarized in the next several chapters here, even creation, I believe. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." It just goes on and on, recounting all the Lord's wondrous acts for his people. And as we go over what God has done for us, how he's led in the past, how he's providentially worked in our behalf to deliver us, to provide for us, it increases our faith and builds our faith and trust in him and makes us stronger against this world, against self and the enemy. At this time, I will turn it over to Imelda. I've asked her to share her testimony of what God has done in her life. And then I will say more after that.
Happy Sabbath, church. Shall we pray? Our dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for you have appointed this time that I can boldly say that I have found you, and you have found me. And thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to me. I praise you that Yours is the glory and the greatness and the power and the victory and the majesty, and you created heaven and earth, and you have dominion over all things. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just met Jesus, and it's the most wonderful thing that happened in my life. 3 decades ago, I was baptized, but recently I just met Jesus. I asked the Lord how I'm going to start this testimony. I asked him whether to write an outline and do my thing, but the Lord said, no, you have the word. I will give you the word. You just need the verses I've given you. So, 1 Chronicles 29:11 just gave me this awesome image of God, that he has the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and majesty. This gives me a picture of my God. If we focus more on God, we forget about ourselves. But I didn't reach this point. I want to go back to the verse that really brought me to the feet of Jesus when I started my journey seeking for him. Before that happened, I was put in front of my spiritual Red Sea. I could not go back because I felt the enemy is behind me, and right in front of me is my spiritual Red Sea. So I said, okay, it's just me and the Lord. I can't do this by myself. So I said, okay, Lord, where am I going from this? And the Lord said, keep still, I'm your God, the God of Moses, the God who parted the Red Sea and let the Israelites cross that sea. I'm praising the Lord. He has brought to my attention this verse, Jeremiah 29:13-14. It says, ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. Oh, am I a captive? Where is this captivity coming from? I didn't understand this before. So I just read verses from the Bible, not really understanding a lot of them, their deeper meaning. So I want to confess, and I want to be unveiled as a person. In the past, I was in the pit of depression. So I would do research. I did some food supplements because they said our body should be healthy in order to fight this depression. We should have these coping skills. I did all of those, but they didn't help me. So I said, okay, probably this is just me. And I had this anxiety and fear and anger. I was so dissatisfied with life. I was looking around as like, what's happening? Nobody's gonna help me. And I look around too. There are people who are really excited about Jesus. So I said, why am I not that excited? I read my Bible, I go to church, I sing in church, but why? There's something missing. Where's that excitement? So the Lord was patient with me. He was merciful until I reached that point that it seems like, oh my, I need to leave. This is hopeless. It's like a hopeless case. I didn't have the truth. The truth I've seen in the past was blurry. I just read the words. It's like, oh, okay, God is good. God is great. Oh, he did those things to those people. Wow, that's wonderful. But I didn't have the experience. John 8:31-32. These verses talk about the truth, freedom, and the word. Then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I didn't know these words before. I mean, I read them, but they never touched my heart or my thoughts that clearly. So during my spiritual journey, the Lord brought me to this unexpected journey, the spiritual warfare. It's like, Why do I need to know that? We all know we are in this world and we have an enemy, but we have God. We have God, we talk about God all the time. Why do I need to look at this battlefield? I was so ignorant. I still have some ignorance, but back then I was a lot more ignorant. John 10 verse 10. The thief. English is not my first language. So when we use the article the or the, it means a specific, a definite person or thing or place. So it says here, the thief. Oh, there's a thief. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I was desperate. The time was like, there's no solution here. God created me as a person with the desire to find solutions. I might mention about the problem, but I don't usually dwell on that. Most of the time, I look for solution. So what's the solution? So when I had this big, huge problem, I was looking around and was like, so where's the solution? Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. So what now, Lord? You brought me, okay, now I know there's an enemy, it's the thief. He stole my joy, he killed my ambitions, and he destroyed my ideals. You know, this pride of ours, our careers. When I moved to the U.S., I was like, okay, I had that career back there. When I came here, it was different. So I was like, oh. So somehow pride comes into way and it's like, oh. So all of these things, they accumulated to create this anxiety, depression, anger. And I could also blame people around me, you know. The enemy would do that. Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So we have the thief and the violent. Satan's kingdom against the kingdom of God. One of Satan's best weapon is fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Before, I just read this like, yeah, okay, spirit of fear. What is this? Because I'm just fearful. I thought fear would just come from me because I didn't know so much about the enemy. I ignored Satan so much that I was so deceived. And I would, instead of praying to God to destroy the enemy in my life, I would attack people around me. I would attack my husband. I would attack my friends. Not physically attacking them, but my thoughts or my words could be my weapons before. But God has led me to this spiritual warfare. And he said, you have an enemy, but I am here. So one thing I realize is that in my spiritual journey, God helped me to be honest with myself and not just say, okay, it's okay, this is life, but said, no, I came here to give you life more abundantly. Don't settle for less. I am here. I am the truth, the way, and the life. Those things were so abstract to me. It's like, yeah. He can give life in the future. He's coming to save me. But he said, until now, at this very moment, he can do it for all of us. Because we are oppressed. We are the oppressed generation. We are the oppressed people of the kingdom of God. Psalms 9 verse 9 says, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. The battlefield, if you're not aware, if we don't look at it as a real battlefield, we are deceived. We should not freak out because God is with us. If God is for us, who can go against us? 2 days ago, I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, what shall I do? How shall I present your message? He said, invite the holy angels to be in that room. They will be standing there, shoulder to shoulder. They are strong and mighty, and I'll be there, and the Holy Spirit will give you the words. And so, just like Moses said, I can't speak the language, but the Lord said, I will give you the words. And the Lord is faithful. The Lord said, you're there to talk about me, not talk about yourself. Talk about the journey I brought you into. Because this is the message for his people. He wants us to be strong. These days we are fighting the spirit of fear of this virus, they're calling it. But God is powerful. He's gonna consume anything. And I smell every day that the power of the blood is real. So whenever I am attacked with doubts or fear, I would say, the blood of the Lamb is covering us. He has fought and he won. We have the victory in Jesus. Ephesians 6 verse 10 to 18. Be strong in the Lord, the Lord's might. In 11 says, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. This has been a great help in my marriage too. Whenever I'm irritated or tempted to complain or accuse or criticize my husband, the Lord will just flash this verse. You do not wrestle with flesh and blood. Pray for your husband. Pray that God will bless him, that the Spirit of the Lord will be with him. And it works all the time. So I said, praise the Lord. So victory is the Lord's. Even in small things, it's like the Lord wants us to develop these spiritual muscles, to swing the sword in small battles in life, because in the near future we'll be dealing with greater obstacles and Satan himself will appear to us. But because we walk in the light, we walk with the sword, the word of the Lord is with us, then we shall not be afraid. God is with us, just like David. He didn't fight Goliath right away, but every day he would fight with a lion, with a bear, protecting the sheep day after day. Exercise. We need to exercise our spiritual muscles. So I'm praising the Lord that he has given this to open my eyes, and not only my eyes. When the Lord has opened my eyes, I was like, oh, this is the experience that other people have experienced. That's why they have that joy in the Lord. And you cannot shut up because the Spirit of the Lord is just so powerful and strong, and you want to share that joy and freedom to others. It's like, okay, I found this freedom. It's like, oh, I found this jewel. The Word of the Lord is true and strong. It works. So you better open the Word. But I cannot do that. I need to let them know that I was also a victim of the enemy. I was deceived. I was blind. I was miserable. And I was in the chains of this world. My aspirations, my dreams were so much in this world. I wasn't thinking so much about the place that God is preparing for me. I didn't have the relationship with Jesus. I tried to build bridges with people, but they burned because I didn't have Jesus. So I'm praising the Lord that he has given us this truth. It's not only for me. I believe that the Lord can use anybody. And I'm praying that share what you have, that we should have the desire. The Lord put the desire in my heart to look for him. The Lord has given me the will and to act things that will please him. I forgot the verse, but it is the Lord that gives us the will and to do good things for his good pleasure. Sometimes we are deceived. We think, oh, it's just me. It's not the enemy. We should not blame Satan. But he's the enemy God is pointing. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. He's not here all the time, but he walks back and forth, seeking. And Job 1, verse 7 says, the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about the earth and walking around it. So he goes around. So I believe that God wants us to know that we have a God, and yet we need to be aware that we have an enemy. We should not be deceived, because we are for the kingdom of God. And the doors should be closed. We should not let them open. We should not forget that we should be on guard. Vigilant, it says. Not like, oh, okay, God will take care of it. I know that the Lord loves me. He's going to do it for me. But the Lord said, we need to do our part. The seeds of truth and the seeds of lie. So all the time, Satan would make these things to counteract the things that God prepared for us. God sent us the truth. Satan will make his own lies to grab us away from the hands of God. John 14, verse 6, Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. But what is Satan? Satan is the lie. John 8, verse 44, and the pit. He leads us to the pit and death. The wages of sin is death. So Satan pushed us to commit sin. So these are, if you try to contrast it, truth and lie, the way and the pit, life and death. God made his word so alive. And we can claim his promise because he said in Isaiah 55 verses 10 and 11, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and the bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from thy mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So if we claim the promise, the Lord's gonna do it because he said it here. That's my promise. I'm gonna do it. So we are assured, and I praise God that he is helping me share. So one lady was like, what's happening to you, Imelda? Why are you more peaceful? So at first I said, oh, I thank God that people are praying for me. But she asked me again, why are you so peaceful? I said, because I know that God is real, Jesus is real. She asked again, another time. I was like, why are you peaceful, Imelda? So I said, I just met Jesus. And she was like, oh, that's wonderful. And I just met Jesus and he's real. And he has led me to this experience because he put me the desire to know him more. He wanted me to stop because we're too busy sometimes. We have bills to pay. We have jobs to do. We have chores to accomplish. But he wants us to stop, to look for his word, and to listen to his voice. So recently the Lord is wanting me to listen because sometimes I talk so much. But I listen and said, okay, Lord, what shall I do? Have time with me. But sometimes you forget to open the word because, oh, I prayed already, so that should be fine. But the Lord said, I have a message for you. And my family, they knew my experience in the past. And they asked me, so how are things now? I said, God has delivered me. He won the victory. It's like, what happened? You know what? It's good to know that we have an enemy. I know now who the real enemy is. And so I shared about the hedge of protection and the power of prayer. You know, they know a lot of this, but because we don't use them when we have problems, it's like it doesn't register so much in our brain or in our spiritual lives. So my sister said, I have this problem. My dog is so sick, and her fiancé is not a believer. So I said, we can pray about that. So we prayed specifically that God will touch the dog, visit. I used the word visit in my prayer, and nobody heard it. In my lone prayer, I said, Lord, could you just visit this dog for your glory to show the fiancé about you? I think not many people use the word visit. Fast forward. The dog got well. sometimes like, oh, praise the Lord. But what really caught me is that the fiancé said, hey, Brownie, did God visit you? I was like, why did he use the same word? And it's uncommon to use that word. But I said, praise the Lord. This is for you. This is for your glory that, and he would know that you are true and you're powerful. And many other things. I also prayed for healing for my grandmother. That was before she passed away. But that time I said, Lord, could you just hold her right now? So you show her peace before she leaves. The doctor said, oh, just take her home. She's like hopeless. But I said, no, the Lord said that we can have the power given by God against the power of the enemy. So we want to claim that because it says here, Isaiah 65, that if we ask him and it's a promise, then God's going to do it in his will. So we prayed. And she survived many months. And then there was peace among the family. That was when it was like the Lord told me, okay, I think we should let her rest. And she rested. Fast forward, my sister said that they witnessed the power of prayer. There was a reunion among my family. And there's this one of my cousins. I have a big family. My mother has about 14 siblings. So now I have a lot of cousins. So they turned their back from the Lord. Okay, he had these two big knives. They were talking about property, chaos in the family. My sister said, Lord, please save this family. And slowly the people started kneeling, praying. And the violent one just left. And so it's like that is a way God has appointed that these people will listen to my sisters. And one of my sisters talked about the hedge of protection. Just like Job, Satan could not touch him because the hedge of protection was around him. So he said, oh, you have that hedge of protection around Job. That's why. So if you take that away, then I can touch his life. So the Lord said, you may touch his body, but don't take his life. So my sisters talked about the hedge of protection to my big family. And they listened, especially the young ones. And I pray that the truth that we talk to people would just spring out. Because the Lord has opened my eyes through one verse only. John 10 verse 10, that the thief is here to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life more abundantly. And any light from the word, we should not be afraid that we offend people. No, it's not time for that. That is Satan whispering to us to be afraid. It's like, oh, no, you don't want to talk about that. You might offend him. No, this is the word of the Lord, and it should be spoken to people. So I pray that the Lord will ignite the desire to experience him, that we stop, we look and listen, and finally experience Jesus. God bless.
Thank you so much, Melda. That's very encouraging. She first shared a little bit of her story with Sheila and I. At the school, we were coming for a story time, and there was no children, so we got to hear her story, and Sheila and I were both very encouraged by her experience with the Word of God and the power that it had in her life. And we know that the Word of God is powerful and living, and I don't think that that can be stressed enough. It's living for each one of us. It has something to say to each one of us where we're at in our life right now. And we oftentimes miss that message that God has for us individually because there's other things in the Word that we are trying to block out of our mind that God is convicting us on. And as we close our heart to one thing that God is saying, we lose the power of that living Word in the rest of our lives. So it's very important to keep our hearts and minds open to the Word of God, like the parable of the rich man and Lazarus in, I think it's Luke 16. You know, the rich man had that message of God to him available all his life, but he never wanted to listen to it because it was a message that was not comfortable for him. And then when he died, he found out that that message was so important for him to be listening to. So it's very important for us to keep the communication open, not only praying to God, but reading his word to let him speak through his living word to us. And his word says that he who does the will of the Father will know of the teachings. And so as we do God's will, when we read it in his word, that God is able to reveal more and more light to our hearts and make his word come more alive to us. And it becomes precious and we cherish it. And I think we will go ahead and stop there for today. I thank you so much, Imelda. And it is so encouraging to hear stories of people's experiences with God and what God means to them and the path that God has brought them on. Just like David recounting the way that God had led in the children of Israel's life. As we do that, we find power and strength. And we can share these with one another and encourage one another in the same way that the Bible does. And so thank you so much. Shall we bow our heads? Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word that is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, let it divide between the bones and the marrow in our hearts, down to the very essence of who we are. Let it divide and separate us from the things that distract us from you, the things that steal, kill, and destroy our relationship with you, that Satan wants to use in our lives to bring death. And Lord, let us separate all of those things in each of our lives. Father, we know that there's an illness going around that Satan would like to sweep as many people as he can into eternity. Lord, we pray for this disease that you will not let anything happen to anybody that is not for your glory and for according to your will. We know that all things work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So we put our trust in you and we thank you that you will protect us from the evil one who wants to kill us and destroy us. Father, thank you that we can trust you, that we can trust your word, and help us to always lift up our voices in testimony against the evil one and trust in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much again for the promises in your word, for the assurance that no plague will come nigh our dwelling if we put our trust in you, and that we don't have to be afraid for the pestilence that walks in darkness or the destruction that lays wait at noonday. But we can put our lives in your hand and not have to worry, not have to fear. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplications, let our requests be made known unto you. Lord, thank you for all the assurances of your word and the hedge of protection that you put around each one of us as we go about our lives this week. Thank you, Father. May your name be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.